a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time now is 7 o'clock. It is the 7 o'clock report here on KSL News Radio. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
Springville police are investigating a shooting over the weekend that left one person dead.
But they already have a suspect in custody after he walked into the police station calling himself a witness. KSL News Radio's Amy Cobabe is live with what we know. Amy?
Amanda, police say they found a 42-year-old man dead on his front porch in Springville Saturday night with gunshot wounds. As they started their investigation, a 25-year-old Hunter Lamoureux walked into the police station and told them he had information on the shooting. Police quickly realized he matched the suspect description neighbors had given them, and he apparently told police he was upset over a pending divorce and custody battle between the man and his wife. This homicide comes on the heels of another deadly shooting in Springville just a few days before. Police are calling that an attempted murder-suicide that left a 20-year-old man dead and 17-year-old Lily Conroy still on life support today in the hospital. Police Chief Lance Haight tells KSL TV that these two cases are more than some officers have seen through their entire careers in this small town.
It's a tragic scene, one that's not easy to get out of your mind, but it's a noble job that our officers do. They respond with great compassion and professionalism.
Reporting live, Amy Cobabe, KSL News Radio.
Springville Mayor Matt Packard says they're just not used to crimes like this in their small city.
They bond together when there are situations like this, and it's a great reflection of the kind of people we have in the community.
The mayor says the community is pulling together to support those impacted by these tragedies.
Firewatch on KSL News Radio.
It is early in the year for a wildfire, but a blaze in Wasatch County near U.S. 40 is burning out of control. KSL TV's Lauren Steinbrecher reports on how this fire may have started.
Right now, it's hard to guess, but fire crews believe Mother Nature isn't responsible for the flatline fire. They don't think anyone on Highway 40 is to blame either. The flames are proving hard to fight. Dozens of firefighters and a heavy air tanker make their attacks, determined to slow it down.
Mike Erickson from the Division of Forestry, Fire and State Land says this fire is not a good sign for the rest of the fire season.
A barn fire in Provo last night killed multiple animals. Provo fire officials say multiple locks on the barn and a locked gate made it difficult for them to get in to fight the fire. So far, we know of a horse and kitten that were killed. The fire spread quickly after reaching a pile of organic compost inside the barn. The cause of that fire not yet determined.
KSL's top national stories this hour. President Biden is in Tokyo this morning talking about trade and security.
Biden launching an Indo-Pacific economic plan involving 12 countries. The focus on trade and how to prevent those supply chain issues that we've seen recently. Meanwhile, Biden was asked today about the possibility of a recession in the U.S., the president giving an emphatic no, but acknowledging that the price of gas is a real problem for many families back home.
ABC's Britt Clennett in Japan.
President Biden also caused some waves in China after telling reporters in Tokyo the U.S. would intervene militarily if China were to invade Taiwan. It was one of the most forceful presidential statements in support of self-governing in decades. The U.S. Traditionally has avoided making such security guarantees to Taiwan, which no longer has a mutual defense treaty.
Pfizer says they are ready to submit data for their vaccine for children ages 6 months to 5 years old to the FDA for emergency use authorization. ABC's Stephanie Ramos has more on what comes next.
Pfizer is expected to formally submit its data in early June. An FDA advisory panel is scheduled to meet on June 21st and June 22nd. So we're looking at late June or early July if everything goes as planned.
Moderna previously sought approval for a COVID vaccine for young children, and they are awaiting an FDA decision.
Overseas shipments of baby formula have started to arrive in the U.S. on board military planes. But we're learning at least 4 infants in South Carolina have been hospitalized due to medical complications related to the formula shortage.
In New York City, the mayor declaring a state of emergency to prevent price gouging. And in Washington, President Biden announcing the first 2 Defense Production Act authorizations aimed at increasing domestic supply, including allowing key formula maker Abbott Nutrition to receive priority orders of raw materials.
ABC's M. Wynn reporting.
A $28 million package aimed at helping ease the baby formula shortage was passed by Congress, but it was not supported by Utah's delegation. KSL News Radio's Don Brinkerhoff tells us why.
The so-called Formula Act passed the U.S. House of Representatives by just 39 votes, mostly along party lines. All 4 of Utah's representatives opposed the measure. Representative John Curtis tweeting out, "They are sitting on a surplus of funds, and throwing money at a federal agency won't fix a supply chain problem." Representative Chris Stewart posting on Twitter, "The act doesn't force the FDA to develop a plan and doesn't leverage existing transportation capabilities." Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.
Time again for First Look traffic on the 7 o'clock report. Here's Andy.
Not a bad start if you're taking I-15 this morning into or out of Salt Lake City. If you're traveling on city streets, though, that's where everyone's starting to wake up and hit the roads. Mountain View Corridor in the usual stretches of West Valley and West Jordan, seeing heavy traffic. In Tooele County, you're going to see a little bit on SR-36. Davis County, eastbound in Roy, slowing a bit. Utah County, not so bad, though. 2100 North in Lehigh. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 7 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air. AnyHourServices.com.
The invasion of Ukraine.
Russia is intensifying its attacks in eastern Ukraine as President Vladimir Zelensky calls for even more powerful weapons to counter the Russian invasion.
President Zelensky gives a stark insight of the cost of the war, saying between 50 and 100 Ukrainian soldiers are being killed every day. For now, Ukrainian troops out east holding on and digging in.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge reporting from Kyiv.
We have some breaking news just in from the Associated Press. Listen to this. We're learning that a Russian diplomat to the UN in Geneva has resigned over what he calls the aggressive war in Ukraine. The diplomat also said he's, quote, ashamed of my country.
Wow.
We'll follow the story for you through the morning.
A former Marine recently released from a Russian prison during a prisoner swap is telling his story.
When the war in Ukraine broke out, you know, I knew that there was no way I was coming home, and I wasn't sure if I was ever going to come home at that point.
Trevor Reed says he was thrown in isolation cells, placed in a psych ward, and sent to a forced labor camp. He was freed in April.
Germany pushing for the EU to impose an oil embargo on Russia.
German Economy Minister Robert Habeck saying in a German radio interview he is disappointed the EU is still working out how to impose an oil embargo on Russia. Habeck adding Germany would be willing to move forward without Hungary so as to speed up the process. Hungary is heavily dependent on Russian oil and has resisted an EU-wide ban on the energy source. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the foreign desk.
In New York, one man is dead following a shooting on a subway train. Police say they found the victim on Sunday and the suspect is still at large. At this point, police say they haven't found any evidence of an argument between the suspect and the victim.
A new business forecast shows some rough times ahead.
What's working with the economy is really working.
They expect the unemployment rate to stay near record lows of around 3.5%.
But respondents to the National Association for Business Economics' latest survey found plenty to worry about.
At the same time, there's increasing worry that the expansion is going to be ending and that we may fall into recession in the next year or two.
But NABE's Ken Simonson says the positives still outweigh the negatives and a recession could be short. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Republicans in Pennsylvania are still waiting to see who won the Senate primary election there, as the vote is still too close to call.
Dr. Oz's main opponent, Dave McCormick, has the backing of a lot of Trump fans, people like Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, Senator Ted Cruz. So this is Republican on Republican violence over the issue of vote integrity.
ABC News political director Rick Klein says Dr. Oz has a slight lead, but there have been challenges launched over the counting of absentee ballots.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.